From the newsroom at Performance Radio, this is local news on Dakota Country, 1210 KOKK. I'm News Director Zach Nelson reporting. Members of the Huron School Board will be updated on the status of litigation regarding the sealed agreement between the school district and former Superintendent Ross Opsahl at its upcoming board meeting Monday night. In late March of this year, the State Office of Hearing Examiner said the school district must release a copy of a settlement reached with Opsahl. The Huron School District paid Opsahl nearly $11,000 per month for 16 months after his job as superintendent ended in March of 2011. Almost $174,000 was doled out to Opsahl during the 16-month span. Current Superintendent Terry Nebelsack said in an interview in February of 2012 on the subject, the payments to Opsahl were easily accessible for the public to see.
From the beginning, if there were any expenditures to the former superintendent, I know that we cited that we had no access to any agreement, but that any payments would be published in the newspaper, and we directed people to check those publications. I heard our business manager direct people with that answer within the first month of when this happened. So I think following the law, we've tried to be as transparent as possible. I personally have not seen the agreement, but I have followed the same publication of bills, and so I've been aware of the monthly expenditure.
The payment ceased in June of 2012. Some taxpayers in the district are frustrated with the district's decision to pay Opsahl after he left. While the district struggles financially, the school board voted during its June 24th meeting to approve a one-year, $600,000 opt-out of the state's property tax freeze to fill a projected budget deficit for the upcoming school year. As for the sealed agreement with Opsahl, the Huron School District is currently appealing the hearing examiner's decision in circuit court. Governor Dennis Dugard is asking the Federal Surface Transportation Board whether Canadian Pacific Railway has lived up to its obligations with its purchase of the Dakota, Minnesota, and Eastern Railroad. Dugard says rail infrastructure is critical to agriculture in South Dakota. The Canadian Pacific has indicated recently it may sell the DM&E line west of Tracy. He says that would mean the new buyer of the line would have limited or no opportunity to ship cargo beyond Tracy unless the cargo is shipped using CP. Dugard says before DM&E was sold, the line provided shipping service to critical transportation hubs, including Minneapolis, Chicago, and Kansas City. The governor filed the petition yesterday. A CP spokesman declined comment. There's been extensive debate and disagreement over the role the National Security Agency plays in the wake of news they've been collecting vast amounts of internet and cell phone data. South Dakota Senator John Thune says it's a difficult balance underway.
I'm always concerned about the, you know, again, this conflict that we have, this tension that we have between protecting Americans and then also doing it in a way that preserves our individual rights and liberties. And I think we have to make sure that we're doing the necessary oversight and making sure that there are safeguards in place, that we never get to the point where we are infringing on those fundamental rights that our Americans expect under the Constitution.
Thune says national security is at stake, so the government needs to have a broad focus.
We need to collect information on terrorist plots, try and prevent them from actually being executed, but I think at the same time we've got to remember that we're a country that's based on constitution, it's based on laws, based on individual liberties, and protect those at the same time.
19 U.S. embassies were closed this week in parts of Africa and the Middle East over unspecified security risks. Thune says he would not second-guess the Obama administration on that decision.
It was a precautionary move, and I think based on what happened in Benghazi, based on the level of chatter that was being, experienced by our intelligence community, that they probably did what they thought was in the best interest of protecting Americans elsewhere around the world. And so I can't fault them for doing that. Based on what I know.
Thune says Congress will again talk about the NSA and national security when they return to Washington after Labor Day. And families who have owned their farms or ranches for 100 or 125 years will have the chance to be recognized during the South Dakota State Fair on August 29th. The South Dakota Department of Agriculture and the South Dakota Farm Bureau want to honor farm and ranch families who have continuously owned at least 80 acres for 100 or 125 years. Century Farms and Ranches have been recognized at the State Fair in Huron since 1984, and more than 2,400 farms and ranches have been honored so far. 2 years ago, the quasi-quicentennial recognition was added for farm families who have farmed for over 125 years. Applications can be obtained online at the Farm Bureau's website at www.sdfbf.org. Applications are due August 13th. That is local news on Dakota Country 1210 KOKK. I'm News Director Zach Nelson reporting. News from across South Dakota is coming up.
News for Huron.
When you told somebody you're from Huron, they'd say, oh, too bad. And now that attitude has really changed. People are saying, oh, there's a lot of great things going on in Huron.
And the surrounding area.
The garage was fully inflamed, and it looked like it was working its way through the attic. We established hose lines right away.
With 15-time Eric Severide Award-winning news director, Zach Nelson, only on Performance Radio.
In news across South Dakota, a state-of-the-art South Dakota beef packing plant that has lacked the money to ramp up to full production is set to find a buyer rather than reorganizing. Northern Beef Packers in Aberdeen filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection last month. Plant executives have been working with investment banking firm Lincoln International since May to find either a buyer or additional investors to help Northern Beef purchase enough cattle to turn a profit. Northern Beef on Thursday asked the bankruptcy court to allow it to hire Lincoln, which is now recommending a sale. Lincoln Mergers and Acquisitions advisor Chris Stradling says his company would look for a stalking horse bid in which one potential buyer makes an initial offer to set the floor for an auction. A Mitchell man is accused of stabbing two people. Police Lieutenant Don Everson says authorities arrested 21-year-old Charles Medicinehorn on two counts of aggravated assault. He says shortly before 3 a.m. on Sunday morning, an officer spotted a vehicle driving erratically near Avera Queen of Peace Hospital.
And he made contact with the vehicle, and two adult males, age 21 and 24, exited the car. And then the officer discovered that both occupants of the vehicle had stab wounds.
Everson says the incident occurred earlier at a residence at 416 West 10th Avenue.
And it appears that Medicinehorn and the two victims were at this residence together, and after a night of drinking, an argument ensued, and which led to an altercation and the stabbings.
The 21-year-old victim was stabbed in the neck and was transported to a Sioux Falls hospital where he is in stable condition. The 24-year-old victim was treated and released at Avera Queen of Peace. Aggravated assault is punishable by up to 15 years in prison and or a $30,000 fine on each count. A South Dakota man faces a felony charge of aggravated vehicular homicide after authorities say he ran over and killed another man with a dump truck while under the influence of alcohol. 31-year-old Andrew Ames of Yankton was charged after the truck he was driving struck 38-year-old Jason Thompson early Monday at a construction site in Gillette. According to court documents, a witness says Ames drove over Thompson as he was backing up the dump truck. Thompson was pronounced dead at the scene. Ames told investigators he had been drinking the night before. Police say he failed a field sobriety test and that his blood alcohol level was higher than the threshold for driving under the influence. A Sioux Falls woman charged with drug possession and child neglect after a December fire that killed her three children has pleaded guilty to the drug charge. 35-year-old Rhiannon White also entered an Elford plea to a charge of child neglect on Thursday. An Elford plea lets a defendant maintain innocence while admitting that prosecutors have enough evidence to convict. Other charges against White were dropped as a part of the plea deal. Judge Brad Zell says he will take time to review the child neglect charge to see if it is applicable. The December 22nd fire killed 6-year-old Olivia Kuhn, 12-year-old Savannah Kuhn, and 16-year-old Michael Hensley. Authorities say White tested positive for methamphetamine and ecstasy along with marijuana when she was taken to an emergency room. And the daredevil son of Evel Knievel has been arrested on a drunk driving charge in South Dakota. Meade County Chief Deputy Tom Wiltz says Robbie Knievel drove his motorhome into a couple of parked vehicles at the Buffalo Chip Campground, a popular spot during the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally. The Tuesday evening incident left property damage. Knievel was stopped later by a South Dakota Highway Patrol trooper in Boulder Canyon and taken to the Lawrence County Jail. Authorities say Knievel pleaded guilty Wednesday to first offense DUI and was released with his driver's license suspended for 30 days and fined about $600. Knievel spokeswoman Charmaine Blake says in an email that Knievel had been drinking but denied that he was intoxicated. That is news from across South Dakota. I'm News Director Zach Nelson reporting.